your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Resilient Minds Podcast. I'm super thrilled, excited today, and humbled to be here with the almighty Brittany. And I honestly just have to say first thing, thank you. Thank you for taking the time. You know, I know you have a busy schedule. I know we all can, you know, use this resource of time in many different ways, right? And for you to come on, give us some love and give us some intentional, you know, focus is really beautiful. So I just want to, first of all, thank you for coming on the show. And second of all, just tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're up to in the world today, and, you know, how things are transpiring in this evolutionary, beautiful experience we call life.
Thank you very much for having me on. I'm so excited about what you're doing. And I love the name of your podcast because it's very in line with what I'm doing in the world. And that's why we accepted this invitation. So I am Brittany Turner, founder and CEO of Ariel Group. Inside Ariel Group, I have 6 companies. I started my career at 18 when I bought my first house. I struggled for 3 years, ended up being homeless and living in my car for almost a year and working for free. And then from working from free, I don't know, within the next couple of years, I became a multimillionaire, Forbes 6 fastest growing woman owned company in the world, Fortune number 3 company, fastest growing company in the nation, and have been crushing it. But all of the crushing it sounds really fancy. There's a lot of glory and a lot of cool awards. But the journey has sucked. I mean, it's been really hard. And if I could pass anything along to you guys, it's how important having a resilient mindset is and how I've been able to maintain mine through the good, bad, and ugly. And I've been able to take that mindset from just something that's kept me centered along my journey and not wanting to quit, which is something that'll come up every day, especially if you're hyper growth and it's been tough or you're overcoming the obstacles of not being the right color, gender, age, whatever, or just doing something that's never been done before. And I've been able to take that and actually create resiliency for nations. And now I actually work in developing countries.
Amazing. I love that. So tell me a little bit about this journey, because you mentioned something that I just really want to focus on a little bit about the journey sucking, you know? So can you elaborate a little bit more on that? Because like when I look at the journey, I find so many gifts and lessons along the way. So I'd love to get your understanding or get your point of view when you say it sucks or it sucked.
Yeah. Well, Eric, you sound like your journey has been had a better perspective than mine. But I guess I share that the suck because it doesn't just because you've got a good perspective or you look back and I find all the gifts, every single part of the suck was a gift, you know, even the worst thing that ever happened to me and ending up in an abusive relationship with somebody that was just, I can't even fathom how horrible this person was. Even his lies turned into the greatest blessing of my life. So just because blessings come from it and just because you can be grateful later doesn't mean in the moment it feels okay. And I want to impart that to you guys because if I had known that I wasn't wrong, because you feel a certain way, you feel like, okay, I must be wrong because I'm having this feeling or this experience. Those don't necessarily go together. And if I could go back and give myself advice, even when I was feeling those ways, I would still say, trust in the divinity, trust you are being guided, trust it will work out for good. Even if it doesn't feel good in the moment, try to find gratitude, try to focus on what is working versus all the things going wrong. We all have an amazing brain that is wired to keep us alive, not necessarily keep us thriving or crushing it or really pushing forward and taking ground in the world. Like it is wired to help you walk through a jungle and say, where are the risks? where are the snakes? Where are the panthers? Where are the tigers? Where are the hunters? You know, find everything wrong with everything all the time so that you can stay alive. Be alert, be alert. What's wrong? Oh, don't forget, that's happened before. It's gonna happen again. You know, like that's what your brain is trying to tell you. So in order to override it, you've got to come up with some systems so that your brain will serve you in more ways than just survival.
Beautiful. And what do those systems look like to you? You know, I'm a big believer in following heart wisdom, right? Like I'm a big believer in like really tapping into that gratitude, you know, that you mentioned earlier. And I really feel and know from my experience that the more we can tune in, attune to this heart wisdom that is way more, you know, smarter, so to speak, than our brains, and allowing that feeling of flow, that feeling of intuition, that feeling of our body to give us this ability to really overcome the challenges that our brain is making sure that we aren't, you know, taking on.
Mm.
So for you, you mentioned systems. I'm very curious to know about a little bit more about the systems.
Well, I've got a quick question for you because I'm not a very fancy person. I own a lot of fancy things, but I'm not a fancy person. And I'm like very direct. I like to know, to understand. And you're saying something I'm not familiar with. How would you describe heart wisdom, and how would you tell our listeners? I'm sure you've covered this in past podcasts, but for me as a newbie and my listeners who will be listening to this in the future, how would you describe heart wisdom really clearly? And then what's your strategies for how to tap into it for somebody who may not do that all the time?
I love it. So thank you for asking this question. So for me, heart wisdom is one of the most ancient ways for us to really connect to source, to pure energy. And when we allow ourselves to tap into our heart, because it's something that has been given to us from our creator, right? It's been something that is allowing us to feel our bodies. And, you know, if we notice anything that our brain is coming up with these stories, we listen to our heart and all of a sudden like, wow, like this feels right or this feels wrong. And we're so attuned for so long to literally create these stories and think that we are our minds, right? Think that we are our brains, right? And then we get these feelings in our bodies to make a decision or make a choice. And then our brain, it says, nope, hold on a second. Is this survival? Is this a moment of like death, you know? And we give this opportunity to ourselves to really attune back to our heart. At least I do, right? And I as we attune back to our heart and say, wait, does this feel right? Is this really coming from a place of like, you know, servitude or gratitude or grace? And when we allow ourselves to disassociate ourselves from our minds, from the story that it's creating, we allow ourselves to see that we are the observer of these decisions, right? We have a lot of different choices, right? We see a lot of different things in our minds, but fear and love are both illusions. We get to decide every single time which one we come in. We are coming a lot from our heads. I believe that we're coming a lot from a place of fear. If we come from our hearts, we're actually showing up in a place of love, in a place of certainty, knowing that we're guided by a sense of faith, a sense of greater intelligence, a loving awareness that runs through us, that the divinity that is coming through us comes through, through the greatest source, which is our heart. And that's where the ancient wisdom lies. And when we allow ourselves to step into that regularly, we give ourselves this amplified coherence where we now get to not only combine our heads or our, you know, our sacral center, but we magnify it through our hearts and we create heart coherence, where now we're creating energy around us and people feel that, right? If we're coming just from our heads or our brain, we're very focused on, you know, victim mentality or perhaps just me. But if we're coming from our hearts, we're using source to guide us as an intelligence through us. Does this make sense?
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, do you recommend just going and getting quiet? Do you write, or how do you normally step into that, as you say?
So the beautiful thing, I love this. You're amazing, by the way. Thank you for asking me this.
well, everybody's got different, you know, everybody's different.
Of course.
I do it good. I'm curious on how you do it.
So I literally, I think that for me, the biggest thing has become meditation and really understanding the power of the breath. The power of the breath that gives us life. And the power of the breath allows us to tap into what is beating without us even thinking about it. Our heart. Mm. It literally just like beats and gives us life without us even having to think about it. We don't need to, oh my God, my heartbeat needs to go. Like, we don't need to sit there and have this decision to focus on it. And that's where true wisdom is, right? Because it's all knowing, it's coming. And everybody wants to be loved. So if we spend some time, whatever you want to do, whether it's prayer or working out or yoga or, you know, speaking with self, because I believe the relationship with our heart is truly the relationship with yourself.
This is good stuff. I hope you wrote this down in a book somewhere.
No, this is wisdom that's coming through me again. This is something that I share so much, but I am going to write a book.
That's good. Yeah. No, just download this episode and get it transcribed. It's done. Done. What is heart-centeredness? What is heart wisdom? I like it. I'm trademarking it. I always tell my team, by the domain, heartwisdom.com.
Done.
I love that. That's really good. That's really good. You know, for me, I wake up and I just go spend time with God. That's one of the first things I do, especially if I'm starting to feel really anxious. And the way that I hear, you know, the way that I hear exactly what you're talking about tapping into is through writing. It's so weird. And I'm like, am I this much of an external processor? Yeah, I totally am. And so just sitting there and being quiet is so powerful. Have you ever been to a silent retreat?
It's so funny. This morning, a lady, she's organizing a silent retreat, and she's like, Eric, I really would love some of your help on this. And I'm being interviewed on her podcast, like literally right after this. And so now that you're saying, like, this is source, like, you see what I'm talking about? Like, this is source talking to us, but we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention.
You have to. I mean, and everybody else is walking around drifting, getting lost in all these distractions. And for me, I've been able to gain the level of clarity that I've needed to be able to take drastic, super gutsy steps through writing my eulogy and then actually turning it into, all right, well, if that's going to be true at the end of my life, then what has to be true in the next 5 years in these categories? What has to be true in the next 1 year to be on track with that 5 year? What do I have to do in the next 90 days to be on track with my 1 year? And then what do I have to stop doing that would ruin everything I'm going for? Like, you read, the reason it sounds so morbid to write your eulogy, I don't care. It works.
Oh, I love it. I think this is so resonant. Yeah. When you contemplate death. Yeah. Sorry. I agree.
It's not even contemplating. When you actually sit there and imagine you're at your funeral and you get the privilege of ghosting, just sitting there chilling, you get the opportunity to see what's happening and hear what is said, then it takes all the should out of you. You know, everything you feel like you should be doing, everything that the society or your family or whatever is pressuring you, you have to do this. It doesn't really matter because you did, you know? So it's like, well, we are all going to die. It's the only thing guaranteed in life. So instead of using that to be sad, use it to empower. You know, I've got friends that have had terminal illnesses and they woke up. They woke up real quick to what mattered versus what they've been being sold. And they woke up to like going deeper, caring more, loving more, having this presence, having this quality conversation and taking their life to the next level. And thankfully they're living, but it took dying to live. And I know we've all heard that, but how can you create a simulation to be able to have that without having it be real with a diagnosis, you know? And so I challenge you all to write your eulogy. I challenge you to not just make it a fancy sounding story, because you're not posting this. Like, don't freaking post it. God, leave it to yourself. This is for you. That is the best guess at what you believe God can do through your life. And tomorrow you'll learn more, and tomorrow you'll learn more, and the next day you'll learn more. And I update mine every year because I only know what I know, But it's really interesting how little it changes because your soul already knows what it wants to be true. It already knows. So when you can write that and then say, how can I start acting that today? You know, what do I have to let go of that would ruin everything? And I actually have a tattoo inside my lip that says, that says no fear. it says no fear, but I used to be a really scared kid and I was too scared to do anything. I really deal with anxiety and all, and I'm like, so annoying. But that no fear is something that is a constant reminder of the fact that insecurity, anger, frustration, whatever your list of things that you have to let go of. For me, I actually made a list of everything that would block me from this story being true. And it was my number one was engaging in insecurity. You know, a lot of women deal with this too. Everybody's insecure, but a lot of women don't let their light shine because we feel like we're not good enough or we're not perfect or we're not whatever. Like we just beat ourselves up so hard and then society beats us up too, but whatever, who cares? What does that story require you to become? That's what you've got to let go of and start walking in the opposite of. So if it takes you writing out what's your highest and best self actually look like, and then you become more of that every day, freaking do it. Like these are the kind of exercises I've developed over the last 12 years, not because I'm a coach and I want to, no, I developed it to keep myself alive, to keep myself on track, to keep myself freaking motivated. Because every day I realize if I walk in the fullness of my calling, I can help stop human trafficking. I can rescue at least one kid in my lifetime. And guess what? I could have been that kid. Yeah. I could have been that little girl being re-sewn up to be sold as a virgin. I could have been that little boy raped every freaking day. You know, I could have been them. And if I was, I'd pray every day that somebody would do something about it. And I'm not somebody that's going to freaking do something about it. So if you're listening to this podcast, you have access to more than so many people in the world. And I don't say that to guilt you. I say that to inspire you. Because if you're dealing with depression at all, it's probably a sign that you've overcome so much in your life that you don't have a lot to like keep fighting for. Like you can reach back and pull somebody up. It's somehow just like Eric was talking about, we're all connected. There's source in all of us. We're all connected. And if you can reach back and help pull somebody else up, somebody hungry, not somebody force feeding, but somebody who's hungry and needs a hand up, that will cure you from depression. Guaranteed.
I love it. You're amazing. You're amazing. You are amazing. This is something that I really like. You know, you mentioned depression and like, you know, these struggles that we go through. And I'm very empathetic to a lot of these experiences myself. The same thing. I had tons of fear, you know, was a crack addict for 3 years. Like I had tons of like dark shadows. And to me that like, it was literally me living in hell, right? Like me living in hell and affecting so many around me. And I think that the most important thing that we can understand in, you know, a Sufi poet, forget his name right now, said, you know, but if we don't reach, if we don't genuinely make our, you know, roots go deep, we can't reach the heavens, right? So obviously it wasn't in verbatim, but you know, what I'm saying is the deeper that we go is the higher that we can create, right? The deeper we go within ourselves to understand, you know, how we can, you know, understand that within ourselves, we amplify wisdom by digging deeper and asking ourselves these questions. We can genuinely show up and embody the opposite, right? I believe that. And I think that for me, you know, I've had this catalyst moment, right, of like going through addiction. What was this catalyst experience for you that was like, no way, no how, like I'm showing up? And you mentioned like you started writing, which I think is amazing because that's like, you know, reading it later, having a third person in the room. I think it's beautiful. I love writing myself. I'm like working on songs and learning how to play guitar, like just being playful, you know, and like figuring it out. But what was that What was that catalyst moment that allowed you to say, listen, this is my experience, and this experience is going to contribute to my why, to my big why, and why I'm here on planet Earth, on this playground we call Earth?
Why I'm here on planet Earth. Man, you're asking a great question. This is like, sounds like going to a bar with me. If I have any alcohol, which is rare, I'm like, why are you on Earth? Like, tell me what really matters. I'm just like the world's deepest person.
I'm totally, see, we're mirroring each other. This is beautiful. Yeah. Great reflection.
Oh man. Why am I on Earth? So when I was 17, well, let me back up. When I was 12, had like a out of body experience, which I didn't even believe in that stuff. I had no idea, but I saw myself in Africa and doing work as a missionary and just serving these amazing people. And I had an all consuming love I had never felt before. I didn't even know. I'm 12. Okay. I didn't grow up around this. And like every molecule of my being was just like, I would describe it probably as the highest high you can get. And it was a piece that you can't even explain. And I saw this vision. So I thought that was what I was supposed to be. And so from 12 to 17, I prepared to like go move to Africa, and this was my life calling, and everybody knew me as that's that girl that's doing that. And then at 17, I went to a, went through a survival school so I could be hardcore. And it was led by Green Berets and these different Australian survivalists. And we went on these really tough trips where they basically destroy you, every weekend for a year. And at the end of the year, we have a culmination exercise in Costa Rica, and they kind of drop us off in the wilderness, and we're like, figure it out, like go serve this village 8 hours away from, you know, the rest of society. And so we put on a women's conference, which sounds fancier than it was because we're in the middle of nowhere. And we had these teachings, we did some arts, crafts, and all this fun stuff, and like helped these women learn really what I would describe as how to hear the voice of God. And you're talking about hearing that heart wisdom, and being able to understand that guidance in your life. And at the end, we were just praying over everybody. And we got to the very last girl, and I asked her name, and she couldn't speak. And I asked the translator, I'm like, hey, well, what's going on? This is awkward. And I found out that when she was only 4 months old, she was sexually abused by her father, where he shoved some things down her throat, and destroyed her vocal cords. And she did not have the ability to speak. And she had a brokenness in her eyes that I will never forget. And, you know, I didn't grow up with a lot at all. I'm one of six kids, and I had no money at the time. You know, I'm 17 and I planned on being a missionary in Africa. And I was so pissed at this guy that I asked a few more questions. I just wanted to go kill him. I mean, I think it's a natural instinct to anybody who's a deep feeler and who saw that level of like darkness and pain in this poor girl who's just a sex toy to this guy. She's about 8 years old at this time. I was even more upset when I found out that one out of every four babies in this community died before they turned 1 year old from sexual abuse from their dad or an uncle. And it was socially acceptable. It was socially understood that that just happens. You know, this is what they're for. So I went back to my tent and I got on my knees and I said, God, whatever it looks like, I want to make this not a thing. And that's what I heard loud and clear. I'm going to take you out of the mission field. I'm going to put you in business. And I was like, no, anything but that. Like, oh no, business is so boring. Oh my gosh. No. I'm like, miss, you know, you'll never see me with sleeves on, bare feet, like mountain girl, like hardcore, almost joined the army, like wanted, that's me. And to be in business is so lame. I had no idea that I was actually being prepared to work with presidents of countries like I do now to actually solve poverty at its root by bringing in different economic opportunities and helping nations actually get back on their feet. And I'm able to partner with some of the most incredible names in the world to have access to that. And we go in after disasters and other situations and help when they're at their most broken to show our hearts are pure. We just want to come and be a blessing, because if I can at least help stop the parents that are selling their kids into sex trafficking because they have no other opportunities, then that's a start. You know, I've met the parents that have sold their kids for $25. Like I call it seeing things you can't unsee. And so I think my awakening came from knowing that just because, even though I was broke, just because I was from America, I had so much access, even though I didn't know anybody rich, I didn't know any business. I didn't have any of the tools that nothing handed to me, but I knew I was only a few Googles away from figuring it out. And that's what you all have. Whatever you're passionate about, stop being hater activists. Like, this is freaking ridiculous. Like, go create a better system that makes the old system obsolete. And you're going to get haters and your mom's not going to believe in you. Shut up. Shut up. This isn't about that. Like, if you actually want to do something that's never been done, why would you expect humans to think that it's possible? It hasn't been done. It's ridiculous. So just trust you're guided. Trust you're going to get that next step. That's faith. Trust that everything is coming to you for you. You're going to meet the people you're supposed to meet. You're going to listen to the podcast you're supposed to. As long as you're not purposefully hiding, then it's going to come. Like, seek and you will find. It's going to be there. So I've had the most ridiculous miracles happen in my life. And again, I've had hard times. I've had a lot of attacks. I mean, it's like every day I'm just trying to save kids. God, you know, that's but it doesn't mean it comes. What'd you say?
That's really important to touch on, is like when people show up and they don't share your point of view, right? Is, you know, I know that there is this like, and again, speaking for myself, I had this element of like feeling unworthy and like I needed to prove myself, or, you know, what it meant to be a man and like how to step into my masculinity and what, you know, like all of these stories that society really, like, I looked at and I mirrored it back and I taught myself this shit, right? Because, you know, let's be real. I took responsibility of it and I really like wanted to unlearn all that. Yeah. So now it's like when I had people come up to me and have different points of view, it's beautiful to have that sense of compassion. So when you're, you know, being focused or you're being, you know, somebody is challenging you, what's the best way that you can like, that you respond to that, right? Because some challenges can be really difficult. And I know that from my own experience. Some may be lighter, which is nice. But like, challenges are fun because they're opportunities to grow. So, you know, when people come with this difference of opinion, or they don't believe, or, you know, they, it all comes from this ego structure that has been developed since the age of 7 and so on forth. What is it that you do, and how do you embody that so that people see that your brilliance is really being shown through?
It's actually knowing who you are and whose you are. So for me, my calling is between me and God. And I had a really hard time being 21 and a girl in the South that didn't look the part, being in the construction industry. So I started out flipping houses, again, working for free for some house flippers, and then flipping houses, and then getting into new construction, and then getting into area development, and then now nation development. And I didn't look the part. So I had to really overcompensate in order to have anybody lend to me, like banks. I had to be freaking perfect. And I don't whine about it, ladies. Like, until people are used to seeing something that looks like us, then their survival brain says, that's not possible. So share your dang light and just keep doing it. Even if you have to work 100 times harder than the white dude next to you, who cares? Just do it and make a way for the next person. Stop whining. Anyway, so I had to be so excellent that I ended up accidentally making all the other builders look really bad because they're just like, we got a deal, you know? And I'm like, everything has to be right. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm not naturally an organized person, but I became one real fast, you know? Especially when you're living in your car, you get really organized. You do not make the same mistake twice because you will be starving even worse than you are. So by being so professional, having a website, making a Facebook, having business cards, putting together certain packages, the bankers started requiring that be the standard. So all these builders, I found out, started having these meetings to destroy me every Sunday at a certain time in a certain park. And somebody, I guess, was part of that meeting, felt really guilty and like called me and told me about it. And they're like, this person, all are doing everything they can to destroy you. Like, I didn't know why somebody was terrorizing our houses. I didn't know what was going on. I thought it was some like drug dealer or whatever. And they were pouring all this water in our HVAC ducts or cutting wires so we wouldn't pass inspections, like doing all this crazy stuff to try to like scare me into leaving. And he said, doesn't that make you just so mad, Brittany, that this person, they're all out there to get you and like destroy you. Doesn't that make you so mad? And I said, you know what? The first thing that went through my head was that little girl. Like I saw her eyes again. And I said, where were you? And to myself, where were you, group of people, when I dedicated my life to this? Where were you when I decided this is what gets my one chance on earth? Where were you when I'm doing this, like my calling has nothing to do with your lack of belief in me and whether or not I should be in Nashville. My calling has nothing to do whether or not my mom or dad think I'm capable or my family decides not to speak to me because I didn't go to college. Like that happened, you know? Nobody's responsible for your life and nobody's going to be with you when you die. So you have to, not in an ugly way, appreciate that most people are saying things because they care about you and they're scared. And it's up to you to listen to your heart wisdom and to get alone, be quiet, find that direction in order to, without knowing the future, take the best, most confident step you possibly can, knowing that's all you know at the time.
And doing the best you can with the knowledge you have is so noble and courageous. You know, I think that just
that's
like
all you can do.
That's all you can do. Exactly. And it's like, if you're, you know, I believe life is really, we can use this world as a playground. So every day, or maybe every other day, I'll run out to the ocean, like full tilt, like a child. And I'll look back like 20 or 30 minutes later, and there's like 3 or 4 other people doing it. And it's like having the ability to be playful and using that playfulness in our life, coming back to our like inner beauty, the inner child that really wants to like expand and grow and have this ability to like play. We can do that. We can do that with meaningful projects. We can do that with using our life with purpose. And it allows us to really step into grace. It steps into the wisdom of our heart. Because a child would never say, Dad, Mom, I don't want to run in the ocean. I'm scared what these people are going to think. Right? Let's do it. So it's about embodying that. And I really want to honor you because you embodied it and you're doing such incredible things in the world because you've embodied it, because you've stepped into it. You've stepped into grace. So I know that, you know, we're cutting short on time, but I want to make sure that if anybody wants to connect with you because of all of this wisdom that you're sharing and all these beautiful things that you're doing, where is the best way they can connect with you, reach out to you, know more about you, all that fun stuff?
Yeah. Well, if you want to meet me in person, I'm actually holding 5 summits this year on really how to embody everything you're talking about. This is so funny that we're meeting. It's crazy. So I've got the Abundance Summit coming up in a couple of weeks, and it's like how to heal your limiting mindset and understand the power and the tool that wealth is so that you can live in your calling. You can serve more people, and then how to actually make that money. So that's Abundance that's coming up. All of these are on a private island here in the BVI that I happen to be at right now. And then the next one is going to be a Presence Summit, which is so funny. It's our silent retreat, which is really exciting. And we're going to teach you how to be, and you're going to be for 3 days on a private island, again, with the most beautiful view in the world. Richard Branson's island's right next to me, Larry Page, you know. And then we've got Strength Summit, which is the ability to find how to make your body get in alignment with the rest of your calling. You know, if you're struggling with self-love, how to eat and doing it for the right reasons, knowing how to work out, and again, reconnecting, just fixing any brokenness in your mind regarding your health. So that's what that one's about. And then we've got the Love Summit at the end of the year, which is, again, how to love yourself so that you can love anybody else. So I'll be leading those. And then we've got Dream Summit, getting really clear, writing your eulogy, making a plan, turning it into a life practice. That'll be next February, I believe. I've got all the dates. So I'll give you the link for that.
Please do, so I can post it in the show notes. And also, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd love to meet you guys in person. So they're limited to 26 people each. So it's really one-on-one, 5 days of just diving in and getting your life aligned. And so it's in the most beautiful place in the world too, which is great. And then other than that, I'm at Brittany Turner on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And I have a podcast called Broke to Woke, which is really fun too.
I love it. I love it. I'm definitely, everybody make sure to go follow Brittany, check out her podcast. Mm-hmm. If you want more of this profound wisdom, there's so much that I'm sure that, you know, you guys are going to learn from her. There's so much already I've learned from you just listening to you. And honestly, last question, if you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
Oh, what would I do? 3 days left to live, man. I would quickly marry my fiance just because he's amazing and he deserves to quickly be married by me. I would do an amazing race with my family. I'd do a bunch of crazy stuff. 3 days is less than like 3 months. And then, I would give all of my money to Operation Underground Railroad so that they could keep saving more kids. That's what I would do. What I do. Yeah. So I love that. Great question.
Yeah. Thank you for this. Do you have any last words? Anything you want to share?
I love asking this question. I'm famous for it. What was your top takeaway from today? Said or not said? What was your top takeaway? Everything we talked about.
Your presence.
Good
very
answer.
Powerful presence.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I'll look forward to having you here sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know. Our journeys cross for a reason. So I just want to say thank you, and we'll make it happen. Definitely. I'm certain, you know, we're soul family. I can feel it. I feel super connected, and I just absolutely appreciate you for taking the time. I honor you and thank you for everything that you're contributing to this beautiful planet, this beautiful life that you have, and all the people that you're impacting.
Keep thank you so much.
Crushing it. You're amazing.
Well, keep doing what you're doing. You're changing lives with this podcast. You guys keep listening. This is not something you find every day. So amazing. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.